DOT officials get an earful about the scrapped Alaska-class ferry plans, and a wrap-up of the Alcan 200. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Margo Friednauer. Those stories and more up next. State legislators last Thursday heard some insight into several recent changes with the Alaska Marine Highway System when State DOT Commissioner Pat Kemp presented at a joint meeting of the Senate and House Transportation Committee in Juneau. But his answers to legislators' questions did not ease the concern of some people in Southeast. The big question to Kemp on Thursday was, how was the decision made to scrap the plans for the new Alaska-class ferry and instead push for two smaller shuttle ferries? Kemp said when he came on as commissioner in December, he discovered the plan for new ferries started several years ago as a concept to build two shuttle ferries. He said his department and the governor are just trying to get back to that original idea. But Senator Hawes French of Anchorage asked Kemp, if that's the case, then how did the ferry project drift so far off course in the first place? That, Kemp said, was not the fault of the department. It was because of the public.
I think it can be mainly attributed to public involvement. We went out, the users of the ferries came back and wanted more amenities and wanted a change.
Kemp said the, quote, aggressive public process the Alaska-class ferry plan was going through created a ferry design that was ballooning over budget. And he said there was no public process in the recent decision to revert back to the shuttle design.
Yes, there was no public involvement for making the change back to a shuttle ferry concept. That was a management decision. The governor was fully engaged with it.
Legislators lobbed several questions at Kemp, along with his new deputy commissioner, Ruben Yost, and general manager of the Marine Highway, Captain John Falvey. Yost emphasized the design for the new ferries has not been finalized.
Sometimes I hear people talking about a design. We do not have a design for this vessel. What was announced is a change to the design concept. And so the design team, the work they were doing on the 350-foot Alaska-class ferry, has been suspended, and we are now working on a design concept. And that design concept will be shared with MTAB and with the public before we go on with the actual design.
Yost said the concept is to have two shuttle ferries built that can service the Upper Lynn Canal. One would serve a route between Haines and Skagway. Another would travel between Haines and Juneau, meaning travelers between Skagway and Juneau would have to change boats in Haines. Kemp said the department has about $116 million that was dedicated for the Alaska-class ferry to spend on the new concept. He said the state is still hoping to use the Ketchikan shipyard to build the ferries. Kemp also said he has a design concept on his desk, but he's not releasing any details of the draft for another few weeks.
I think if we're patient and we look at the design concept report and we open it up for public involvement and we let the people know what we're doing, I think we'll be fine.
He said he hopes to deliver a design for the new ferries in November, with plans to begin building by 2014. Transportation Committee Chair Representative Peggy Wilson of Wrangell also asked Kemp to address a recent reorganization at his department. After Captain Mike Newsel was asked to step down, Kemp appointed Yost as deputy commissioner of not just the ferry system, but two other departments as well. Wilson said she was concerned that Kemp did not confer with the Marine Transportation Advisory Board, or MTAB, on the choice of Yost. According to statute, the commissioner is supposed to confer with the governor-appointed board regarding candidates for the position. Kemp said he had the legal okay from his department attorney to make the appointment, but Wilson said a legal opinion from legislative attorneys said MTAB should have been consulted.
Since the MTAB has its power set in statute and the Marine Highway operations have continued to improve during that time, I would hope that the department will continue to seek counsel from the MTAB committee and at least have that communication going back and forth with them.
There was standing room only during the committee meeting in Juneau. In Haines, a small group of people, including Haines Mayor Stephanie Scott, watched a live webcast of the meeting. The mayor said she had several questions and concerns after watching the meeting. Primarily, she is concerned the ferries being proposed are really only meant to act as a piece of the Juneau Road Project supported by the governor.
I am definitely concerned that there is an agenda here to create ferries that will, in fact, take us across Lynn Canal to some terminal on the other side in order to drive down a road, a hypothetical road, to Juneau. In other words, that road, if it's ever built, is going to be a long time coming.
Mayor Scott said she's also disappointed Commissioner Kemp could not confirm or squelch the rumor that an open deck concept is being considered for the shuttle ferries. Some think an open deck style ferry would not fare well in the Lynn Canal.
But I just cannot imagine an open deck ship plying the Lynn Canal. So I am distressed that that concept is even at play.
The Transportation Committee will meet jointly again on January 24th to take public testimony on the ferry issue. The Haynesboro Assembly meets Tuesday both in a committee of the whole and in a regular assembly meeting. The assembly will likely go into executive session during the committee of the whole at 5 o'clock to discuss manager Mark Ernest's performance evaluation and his contract. At the 6:30 regular meeting, the assembly will publicly address Ernest's evaluation and contract. The group previously discussed extending Ernest's contract if he receives a satisfactory performance evaluation. Most of the other items and resolutions on the agenda fall under the consent agenda, including a resolution to adopt the borough's 2013 federal priorities. A complete agenda and meeting packet is available at the Haynesboro website. The Committee of the Whole begins at 5 p.m. Tuesday, and the regular meeting is at 6:30, both in Assembly Chambers. The Haynes Highway was closed to motorists for part of the day Saturday, but that doesn't mean the road didn't roar to life. This was the sound of snow machines readying at 42 Mile for the 44th annual Alcan 200. Race directors called the road conditions and weather excellent for the race, in which snow machiners travel the 155 miles from the Canada border to Desjardins Lake and back. Some of the 22 registered racers were rookies, like Haynes resident George Campbell, who's been wanting to join the race for years.
Because I have the opportunity. I have the sled. Actually, I got two sleds now, but that's beside the point. Well, I've got this old TNT here, and then through a twist of fate, I ended up with that 600 Yamaha that's on the pole position.
Others were returning veterans, including racers from Whitehorse and Fairbanks, and locals like Chris Brooks and Mike Ward Jr. The overall winner is also a veteran. Greg Petey of North Pole thinks he's raced at least a dozen times before.
You know, you just can't run 100 miles an hour down the highway anywhere, you know. Yeah, it is fun. There's no police chasing you. You don't have to worry about other cars on the road.
Petey raced the 1985 Polaris Indy 650, a machine that's been in the Alcan 200 twice before, he said. Petey finished 1 second over the 1 hour 29-minute mark. He was clocked crossing the finish line at just over 104 miles per hour. Stephen Cornwall of Fairbanks came in second, about 2 minutes behind Petey, and Mike Ward Jr. came in third, less than a minute behind. Of the 21 racers that started the race, 14 finished. The race is put on by the Chilkat Snowburners Association and was organized by Kathy Lapp and Patty Campbell this year. For a complete list of results, visit the Chilkat Snowburners Facebook page or the Snowburners webpage. The Haynes Glacier Bear girls were winless in four games at home this weekend. The junior varsity girls faced a Juneau Douglas High School squad, falling 36-27 Friday and 34-33 on Saturday. The varsity hosted Metlakatla and came up short in a nail-biter on Friday, 40-36. The Bears trailed by one with a few seconds remaining, but turned the ball over. Metlakatla then sunk a free throw and last-second basket off a rebound to extend the final margin to 4 points. Haynes started off slowly on Saturday, and Metlakatla pulled away in the second half for a 43-26 win. The Glacier Bears were without senior sharpshooter Riley Erickson on Saturday when she had to sit out with a knee injury. The Glacier Bear boys also fell to Metlakatla on the Chiefs' court. They lost 30-68 on Friday and 25-61 on Saturday. Haynes gets to see the boys at home this coming weekend when they host Wrangell on Friday and Saturday. The girls play in Wrangell the same days. Skagway Panthers host Thorn Bay on Monday and Tuesday before traveling to Hoonah on the 26th and 27th. And one other important note in school news. According to the Skagway News, the Skagway team Arthrodroids won the state first LEGO League Championship in Anchorage over the weekend, qualifying them for the World Championship in St. Louis this spring. We'll bring you more about that big win in our Tuesday evening newscast. For KHNS News, this is Margaret Friedenauer. Thanks for listening to your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support.